Good evening and welcome to our Sunday night Bible study service. Last week, we of course did not do a Sunday night Bible study because of Mother's Day. But this week I wanted to continue our study in the book of 2 Peter. So tonight I want to invite your attention to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 3 as we continue to grow our faith. Verse 3 says, "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." Our Father in heaven, we again thank you for your word. We pray for your guidance as we learn from your word. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, and that, Lord, that through this study tonight, we may all grow, be made more mature in faith, that we may be made better servants, Lord, as we serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. The focus of our study has been, of course, growing our faith. And the one thing that you need to know is that it's one thing to say, grow your faith, but you've got to know how to grow your faith. And so Peter was very direct and very clear in how we're to grow our faith. In chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we're just going to review that. He said we grow our faith by adding to our faith. We add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So as you know, as you can see, and the way that Peter puts it, our faith is a program of building one upon the other. And so tonight, we're building that faith. And specifically, we're building our faith by learning more about God and having a true knowledge of God. Now, the first part of this chapter, Peter was discussing false prophets and what they do, as well as what was awaiting them, or the judgment that awaited them. And now, tonight, we're going to look in verses 3 through 9. We see the judgment that God has prepared for them. But two things I want you to get out of this message. Number one, God judges sin. Number two, God is faithful to deliver his children. Point number one, God judges sin. Peter says in verse 3, their judgment, or the judgment of the false prophets, is not idle, and their destruction does not slumber. You know, often we look at people and we say, well, boy, they're just living like the devil, and it just seems like they're doing so well. And Peter's saying, just wait. Just wait. God's in control. He has his time. And their time of judgment is coming. You know, the world even today, we've come to the point that the world scoffs at the idea that God judges sin. They want to define God as being only a God of love, who loves all people and all things, no matter what they do. And the idea is thinking that God would never judge a sinful people. And I want to tell you, that idea is false teaching. Okay? God will judge sin. And He will punish the sinful. You've got to understand, again, and people would respond and say, God is love. The Bible says God is love. Yes, God is love. But if God is love, you've got to understand, if God loves things, there are some things that God don't like. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, it says there are six things that God hates, even seven that are abomination to Him. So understand, yes, God is a God of love. But if He's capable of love, He's also capable of hate. And here is a bit of knowledge that every believer needs to know about their God. And that is that God has a track record of judging sin. Okay? It's nothing new. In verse 4, that's what Peter is building a case for. In verse 4, he said, God did not spare the angels who sinned. Now, what we're of course talking about is the fall of Satan. Back when Satan said he would ascend above the Most High God, and that he basically wanted to be God. And that was his goal. And when he tried this rebellion, a third part of the angels followed him. And that third part of the angels was cast out of heaven. That's in Revelation chapter 12. If you want to read about Satan's revolt, it's in Isaiah chapter 14. But anyway, these had been cast out of heaven, and it says they have been reserved for judgment. And understand that word judgment, it is punishment. They're guilty. Now they're waiting to receive the sentence of their guilt. If it does not matter what you do, and if God accepts you just the way you are, then why are the angels described here chained, awaiting the day of their judgment? Why? I'll tell you why. It's because God judges sin. Not only the angels that rebel, But looking at verse 5 where it says, and did not spare the ancient world, speaking of Noah. The Lord saw, and you can go back and read in Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And God said, it is okay, I love man anyway. No, that's not what he said. God said in verse 7, Genesis 6 verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth. God caused then a great flood to cover the earth, and all the creatures that breathed died or perished in that flood. God judges sin. Not only did He not spare the ancient world in the days of Noah, but God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know that story there that Peter writes about in verse 6. Again, the book of Genesis, we recall those two cities, Genesis chapter 19. And we recall their sin. What was their sin? Well, sexual immorality, more specifically homosexuality. We know that the result of that sin and that ungodly society was that God rained down fire upon those cities, destroying all the inhabitants of those cities. And Peter says in verse 6 here that God made an example. Take note. It says, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Alright? That means we're supposed to learn from what happened to them. What were they? They were immoral. They were ungodly. What happened? God rained down fire. And we as a result learn. God judges sin. You have to understand. Our sin has consequences. And I know we're living in a society today where it's all about there are no consequences for anything. You commit a crime, you get the slap on the wrist, and our children, we no longer believe in spanking and discipline, and in our sports, everybody's a winner, and it doesn't matter if you play good or not. That's hogwash. You have to understand the reality of God. God will always judge sin. Well, Brother Doug, I don't see that judgment happening now. Well, just hold on. Hold on. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason that you have not seen the judgment of God poured out upon this world right here, right now, is because God loves the sinner and He desires them to turn from their sinful ways. And He's giving them that chance of repentance. Oh, listen, friends. Do not misinterpret the long-suffering of God for weakness. For there's coming a day when there will be judgment poured out upon this earth. Know that God judges sin. And I know I've repeated that, but I want you to get that, okay? Do not let that go. God will and does judge sin. Second thing I want you to know about our great God. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Not only does He know how to judge sin, He knows how to rescue you and me from the sins that plague us. Consider old Noah. Noah, preacher of righteousness, it says. And that word preacher, it means in the Hebrew, one who proclaims a message publicly. So we know by the way that Noah is described, he was a man called to declare the gospel in a public arena. However, imagine, if you will, that no one wanted to hear what Noah had to say. He was a man who preached for 100 years while he was building the ark, calling all men to repentance, and no one responded to his message. How disappointing that must have been until that day when the rain began to fall. Rain had never been seen before. And no doubt people who had thought Noah was a crazy man prior to this, they had to take notice when that judgment started to fall. That rain began to fall. And the sinners began to realize they're in trouble. It says the waters of the deep were broken up. So not only was the rain falling from above, the waters were rising from beneath. And the sinners know they're in trouble. But here's the wonderful part. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. And the glorious part is that it says that God shut Noah and his family up in that ark. And friends, I do not believe that old Noah even got wet. Because before it started raining, God provided the rescue. And for the coming days, Noah floated above the judgment of God, never affected by God's judgment on sin. Why? Because God knows how to deliver His children. Consider, it says, righteous Lot. It says his soul was tormented living among the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was oppressed by their filthy conduct, seeing them day in and day out. That word torment is from the English, it's the word that we use, torture. So Lot, living where he lived and seeing the sinfulness of Sodom and Gomorrah, was daily torture to his very soul. you know, most people don't understand. They think that Christians are sticks in the mud, and they just don't understand. They're not with the times as we proclaim sin to be sin, and we try to separate ourselves from a sinful society. But you know, the reality is, being surrounded by sin, it does scar the soul. It does matter. I consider myself, and I was in a restaurant not very long ago, and there was two young ladies in that restaurant. This was before COVID-19, of course, but there were two young ladies in that restaurant, and they couldn't keep their hands off of one another. And quite honestly, it was for me sickening. As I sat there and tried to eat my dinner, they were putting their arms around one another and hugging one another. And it kind of gave me a little taste of what Lot must have felt here. To be quite honest with you, I tried to look the other way, and you know, there are just times you can't look the other way. The world will say, well, if it offends you, don't look. Well, listen, don't parade it in front of me where I have to look at it. Because it truly does. It vexes the soul to be surrounded by ungodliness. Oh, but you look at Lot. God, in His grace and in His mercy, before He rained fire down to destroy that city, He took Lot, Lot's wife and his two daughters, and He led them out of the city and delivered them from the judgment that was to come. What I want you to get, as God's children, that God knows how to deliver us. And there is a great deliverance that is coming. A deliverance that we call the rapture. You see, we've learned that the judgment is coming. The judgment of God will be one day poured out upon this world. And that judgment will be in the form of a 7-year tribulation period where the wrath of God is literally poured out upon a godless society. But I'm going to tell you something. Before that wrath of God is poured out upon this sinful generation that's going to be present, we're going to experience, or the children of God are going to experience, what we call the rapture. Where Jesus steps out on that cloud, it's described in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we'll always be with the Lord." Friends, we're going to leave this place. We're going to leave this, the ones that remain, to face the judgment of God that will be poured out. Oh, where populations will experience death rates that will make this COVID-19 look like a simple cold. But the good news is, we're not going to be here. Say, "Brother Doug, how do you know?" Well, I know based on 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we're told that we're waiting for the Son of God, for Jesus from heaven, whom He has raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. You see, God is not saving His wrath for His children. He's saving His wrath for His rebels. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, friends, rest assured. Whatever we're going through today on this earth, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one day the clouds will open, God's people will be called, And we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to meet Jesus in the air. Because God knows how to rescue His children. Two things I want you to keep with you this week. Number one, God judges sin. And as you live and as you go about your daily life, I challenge you to be reminded to take note of the sin that's around us. And live with the knowledge of knowing that judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. Second thing I wanted you to learn and to keep with you is that God knows how to deliver you. Oh, listen, my friends, one of these days, our faith is going to become sight. We'll no longer look forward to that day. We'll experience that day. I believe that we're very close. I believe that we are living in the last days, as the Bible puts it. And I believe that the only thing left is for Jesus to call His children home before the world is thrust into that time of judgment. My question to you is, are you saved? Do you belong to Jesus? If not, you better get ready. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and you will spend eternity in one of those two places. And there are many people in the world, it goes back to the concept, well, God doesn't treat people that way. Listen, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Hell was created for Satan and his angels, and God has never nor will He ever send anyone to hell, but man chooses hell for himself. And he chooses hell by rejecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid for his sins upon the cross of Calvary, paid for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. Listen, my friends, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you done that? Do you have the assurance of knowing that when the great rescue comes, you're going to be part of the departing party? Or are you going to be those who are left behind? If you're not saved, ask Jesus to save you tonight. If you are saved, remain faithful. Another one of the qualities was endurance. Learn how to hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't think that God's forgot what He's promised. God's faithful. He's faithful. Keep serving. You remain faithful. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this lesson, being reminded that You do judge sin. And being reminded that You are coming to take Your children home. I pray, Lord, that You'll bless as we continue this study. That, Lord, each night that we do this study, we will take to heart these building blocks that will help to grow our faith. Lord, we do pray for Your return. Come soon, Lord Jesus, come soon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.